Washington. On Sunday, across many of the countries of the world, heads were bowed and tributes made to those who've died in the wars of the last 100 years. Now, a Canadian poet, in fact, the country's first official war poet, has penned her own reflection on death and the military. 4 years ago, Suzanne Steele spoke to us before she spent time training with troops in the Canadian province of Alberta and then going off to Afghanistan. To commemorate the end of Canada's active combat mission in the country, she's put her poems to music. Afghanistan, Requiem for a Generation is performed by the Calgary Philharmonic Orchestra.
This is actually the culmination of 4 years of intensive observation and witnessing of a battalion going to war. And they had lost many comrades. One young fellow I know had lost 35 by the time he was 28 years of age. And I felt an immediate response that I wanted to write a requiem for this generation, this post-religious generation.
Requiem is, I mean, it's a loaded word, isn't it? I mean, and it's one that goes back several centuries. I'm just wondering how far you managed to tailor it for a contemporary war.
I've really tailored it in that I've stripped the Latin text to its bare bones. I've kept the form. And the Latin text is actually a low rumble. And my poetry, my words go over this engine. And it's very contemporary. I use contemporary soldier language. I use their vernacular, that great Anglo-Saxon F word, which, you know, you can't avoid hearing in an army camp.
Would you give me a flavour of perhaps some of the libretto?
This is actually the only section that's not sung. And it's two soldiers sitting outside the wire. They've been outside the wire for 6-8 weeks. They're reconnaissance, which is recce. And so they're sitting around a fire. Recce. Outside the wire. Way outside the wire. Me and my fire team partner. 30 days, 40 degrees Celsius, uniform stiff with salt, sweat. Nothing to drink but stale Camelback water. Water so stale I add orange crystals. Force myself to drink, puke anyway. Nothing to eat but cold rations. We live off stale smokes, beef jerky and chew adrenaline. Radioed back, Andrews is dead. Andrews! We follow empty tracks, a farmer's path. Our coyote treads sand like water, eyes on eyes, for piles of rubble, sticks, pebbles, fresh-dug earth. Beware the normal and the presence of the abnormal. We cross a mountain pass, see an old farmer, woolly hat, woolly beard, man jams, walking two skinny lambs tied to him, one white, one black. You thinking what I'm thinking, I ask Buddy? We stop. Cock weapons get ready to rock and roll. I approach the old man, his arms open wide. He knows the routine. Don't feel tired, old man, I say in Afghan. Where are you going? Three tours in the sandbox. My fire team partner's Pashto is pretty good. The old guy points to the village we've had eyes on for the past month. Pattern of life. Our coyote hidden in half-shot grape huts covered with vines, leaves, palm fronds. We search him. No wires, not even a cell. We let him go. Can I buy that lamb? How much? How much? I bargain for the small black lamb. These guys love the deal, and so do we. So I hand him a fist of American dollars, shake hands, then the old man pulls out a rusty knife, picks the lamb up by its scruff, draws the blade across its throat, but the knife is dull. It takes half a dozen cuts, the lamb bawls, struggles, spasms to death, but the old guy's done it 1,000 times. Hands the black lamb to us by its back feet, blood soaks the red dust, the old guy wanders off. And it's getting cold. We recce a spot where we can hide the coyote at night, take watch while the other guys sleep. Nobody around, so we light a fire. I pry the grill off the coyote, and Buddy here, he's a hunter back home, takes out his bayonet, peels back the skin of the lamb, guts it, butchers it. We roast the lamb over the grill, open an IMP, sprinkle packs of salt, pepper, and Frank's red hot sauce all over it, grab huge chunks of barbecued meat, a shank each. We swill it down with orange crystals in skunky water, our faces greasy and smiling. A blackbird flies in, watches the scene, flies off again. And you know what? It was the best damn meal I think I've ever eaten.
Thank you for that, Suzanne. So how did the soldiers themselves relate to the idea of a poet in their midst?
At first, they were mystified, but once they found out I wasn't a journalist, with all due respect, that I was an artist, so that gave them a certain ease. And then they started writing me back. And all of a sudden, I'd be out on a patrol, and a young soldier would come up to me and say, "Hey, I write poetry too." You know, and so it went like that. But then finally, you know, I came to the point where I was speaking to Sergeant Major one day, and I said to him, "What's the piece of war art that every Canadian person knows?" And he was going, "Well, Iwo Jima." I said, "That's American. The death of Wolfe on the Plains of Abraham." I said, "Do you give up?" He said, "Yeah. In Flanders Fields. It's a poem." And he looked at me and he said, "Why didn't you tell me that sooner?" And I said, "You never asked."
The haunting music of Afghanistan, Requiem for a Generation. And you can find out more about Suzanne Steele's work on her website, which is warpoet.ca. You've been listening to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. Thanks for your company.